Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 3 of E4 2018. I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. What's up, man?
I'm sort of sitting.
you're sitting. You're like reclined. You're like chilling, man.
We should have some video of this going on.
We'll have to get all the fancy things your chair can do.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. I'm kind of chill, laid back. As we're doing the show, which is not a normal thing, but I'm kind of having an uncomfortable crippled day.
Yeah.
And so I am reclined, kind of enjoying myself. We got to get you a better chair.
Yeah, so see, I have a better chair, because the chair I'm sitting in right now is pretty terrible.
Right.
I have a better chair that's like a big office chair with arms and that kind of stuff, but it's a little harder to maneuver in, and so
right.
I knew we'd be moving around a lot, and so I opted for this chair for this week, since we're in here moving around and doing a bunch of different things. And so
yeah, that's a really
good
chair.
I do have a
chair.
More comfortable chair, though, because, yeah, this one's pink, by the way, which is really nice.
Yeah, I think isn't that normally the sexy sidekick chair?
Yeah, it was, like, back in the day of, like, World of Warcrafting. This was her World of Warcraft playing chair, so... that's the chair I'm sitting in, which is not comfortable. It's got a hard back. It doesn't have arms to it. It's not great, but, and it's old. So the, like all the padding in the seats, like worn down. So
right.
It's like sitting on cardboard. And,
yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. Cause, we are here in this show.
I'm glad to know we're still us.
Yeah, not going to be us.
we've been really focused for the last couple of days here, and it just sort of all went out the window right there.
Start talking about chairs.
Yeah.
So, whatever. This episode is coverage of the Sony press conference, and we have lots to talk about.
Okay. Firstly, I didn't know if I would feel this way during E4 this year, because we didn't know what were really going to happen, but we do this every year, right? This is our favorite week of the year. Is it still our favorite week of the year?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah,
our
for
favorite
sure.
week of the year. We're hanging out. We're having a good time. And why is this our favorite week of the year?
Because we love video games.
Because we love video games, and it is the week of the year that we are filled with wonder like children.
Yes.
Like, we're like two teenagers sitting in our house. We're like, we're grown-up men
right.
sitting in a room with, like, all kinds of broadcasting gear, and we're trying to be adults because you have a daughter.
Right.
But like, what I'm trying to get to here is sitting and watching the Sony press conference gave me that feeling of wonder that I didn't know that I was going to get this year.
Yep. Fair.
Did you feel that way?
I did, and it was a weird thing. So let's talk about the press conference itself for a second, because we knew coming in, Sony told us this on the front end, that they're doing something different this year, that they're going to take a different approach to this game. One of their big focuses was this idea of doing a deep dive into four of their titles. And so they told us what those four games were going to be before E3, told us that there's going to be a different kind of press event. And it was. They held true to that, though there was other stuff in there, which we knew there was going to be, and we'll get to all of it
right.
here in just a second. The formatting of the show, at least for the first about 40 minutes, was pretty miserable. Like,
yeah.
I was prepared to hate this show, because it started out, they were in a like a tent that was set up like a church, and there wasn't really any reason why. Like, you didn't know why they were doing this. The lighting was really bad. The sound was really bad. And so I made a comment on Twitter that, yep, it's church. Because if you've ever been to church, lighting's often bad, sound's often bad. Like, it was feeding back. It was just, Sean was on stage. He didn't look good, not because of him, but just because of the lighting in the room. Like, when you're used to these professional productions that we get at E3, this looked amateur.
Yeah.
And it just, like, it felt like, oh, man, this is going to be really weird. Then they showed the first of their four games, The Last of Us 2. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit, get into all the details. But that was fantastic. They get done with that, and they're like, cool, we're going to take an intermission. And this is 15 minutes into the show. They're like, intermission time. And they cut to, like, desk and guys sitting behind a desk, and they're like, so, what do y'all think about the show so far? And I'm like, we're 15 minutes in, guys. Like, we started.
It was like an intermission at a hockey game.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you watch a hockey game, you got a period, and then you got an intermission. It was like that.
And it was, like, 20 minutes long. And, like, Sean's now there sitting behind the desk, and they're like, yeah, good times. We're having a great time here at the Sony Press. And we're like, you just started. You showed us one game so far. Like, what is this thing?
It was really good, that one game.
Fantastic.
One game.
And we're 15 minutes in. They're like, so we're moving venues now. We're leaving the church and we're going to this other place. And they still haven't really explained this whole thing. And so then in my head, I'm like, well, crap. They're going to go to a bad auditorium for each one of these games. Like, they're going to, like, have the first one, The Last of Us, which they just did, and then go to another, like, random room and show off Death Stranding with, like, bodies hanging from the ceiling or whatever, you know, which they've done before, so whatever. I was just dreading this whole experience. But after that intermission, they just went into kind of a bigger kind of traditional auditorium and did the rest of the show in there. And after that point, it felt pretty good. Like, it felt fairly normal of what a Sony show is or what a traditional E3 press event is. It felt like they were trying to do something different to try to be cool. And it landed pretty flat. They had a banjo performance at the top, which was weird. Again, musical performances. Panda Marching Band was the best of the weekend. Still not great. But Sexy Sidekick loved it. So again, whatever. Banjo performance was fine. Dude, super talented. And after that, there was like this Japanese flute performance. And it was great. Like, people are good at what they do. It just isn't what I'm tuning into E3 for. And it feels like you're using up time that could be used for other stuff. And so
that's what I got from it, was every time that somebody did this, and it's happened, what, three times at three different events now?
Yeah.
It's like a massive stall tactic because we don't have enough to fill the full time that we have booked here. So we have to do something to keep the crowd entertained. And that ain't why the crowd's there, and they're not entertained.
Yeah, it's weird. Now, let's talk about what Sony executed, and I think executed pretty well. So this idea of doing four deep dives into games, I love how they pulled it off, because not only did they do the four games and do a deep dive into them, but all four of them, what they did is just put gameplay on the screen. Wasn't a developer coming out and talking about it. Wasn't a dude on the stage with a controller in his hand, and he keeps cutting back and forth so you can, like, see, oh, look, he's really playing. I don't care. I trust that somebody's actually playing the game, whatever. Yeah. Like, it was just like The Last of Us. Cut to gameplay, and it was each game was like 8 to 10 minutes of just gameplay, uninterrupted, just pure on-the-screen gameplay, and I love that.
And they didn't pull any punches either. I mean, the video that we saw of every game was the only word I can think of was just dirty.
Yeah.
I mean, they got gritty in a hurry, and, like, you watch The Last of Us, And we have had this thing the last couple of days because the little girl really only has one rule, and that is very little screen time right now.
Yes.
That's it.
Yep.
She can do whatever else she wants to do. But for the most part, no screen time is a thing. And with Uncle Jay being around, I feel really guilty, but Uncle Jay is making that no screen time thing really hard, because there's a lot of stuff going on in her house that isn't normally going on in her house.
Yes.
And she's really working to try and see what it is.
Yes.
And at this point, when they start The Last of Us, and it was almost immediately, I mean, like 30 seconds, then you see something, it's like, whoa! Okay, where is she? What's going on? Did she see that? Because that is not appropriate. And it was that way the entire rest of the conference. I mean, like, edge of your seat. I was on the edge of my seat for the entire rest of the conference. I think you were, too.
Yeah.
And it was like an uncomfortable kind of edge to your seat kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know.
So all four of those games they showed, Spider-Man being the kind of least adult of them, still a lot of beat 'em up and violence. But the other three are rough. Yeah. Like, rough games. And so let's go through them. Let's break down exactly kind of point by point what they did. And so, again, big four games. We're going to go into depth on those, and then we'll talk about some of the other announcements. One that's huge, looks amazing. We'll get into that here in just a second. We'll start with The Last of Us. And so the gameplay trailer that they showed for The Last of Us starts in a barn or church or whatever that's kind of reflective of this auditorium venue that they were in, and it kind of made sense.
Yeah.
Didn't know that going in, but finally figured it out. With Ellie and a new character named Dina, who is apparently Ellie's love interest. And so there's another character there that they're talking. The dude makes some like comment of something about your dad to Ellie. And so assuming that's Joel, so it sounds like Joel's still around. We didn't see him in any of this, but assuming he's still around, it's going to play some role in this game. But the game's going to center on Ellie.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of really nice, kind of heartwarming scene in this barn talking about relationships a little bit. And then Ellie and Dina dance together kind of the middle of the dance floor, and they're having some sweet conversation that kind of culminates in this kiss, which was like, it's weird to talk about like a video game kiss, right?
Yeah.
But it was like the most impressive video game kiss you've ever seen.
They got into it. Like, they were on it, man. They had it going. I'm like, wow. Yeah.
Way to go, Naughty Dog. Like, I want to know what the like motion capture for like
yeah,
that.
How do you do that?
It was whatever. And so like in the kiss, it goes into this like, I don't know if it was a flashback or into the future. I think it was
a flashback.
See, I was going to say, I think it was into the future.
The girl was like, they should be scared to death of you.
Right.
And then it goes into this.
Either way, it shifts from this nice environment in this church where everybody's happy and chilling to Ellie out in the world having to survive. And then this is where you get the actual gameplay. And so it plays through this kind of scene with a bunch of dudes. By the way, didn't see any of the clickers,
like none of
the zombie characters or whatever in this demo. Like, they just weren't there. It's just all about human interaction. Killing a bunch of humans it was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But it was very The Last of Us. It's Naughty Dog, so I also saw a lot of hints of Uncharted and how it looks like the gameplay works and kind of navigating the world. Super cinematic, which is going to be a theme for all of these games. Every single one of them is immensely cinematic.
Oh, man.
And so just this kind of action, play-by-play, like there's a part where she like stabs a dude in the head with the claw end of a hammer.
Yeah. And that wasn't even the moment.
I know.
She did the thing with that knife, and I went, whoa!
Yeah, knife through the throat, kind of under the chin, kind of. Yeah. Oh. it was brutal. It was just action, and it looked fantastic. It looks like it's going to play a lot like The Last of Us or Uncharted or something like that, which is great because those games are blast, are fun.
Yeah,
but it's obviously also going to play up that emotional element like the first Last of Us did, but from the perspective now much more valid than it is of Joel from the first game. Really interested to see what role Joel plays in this game, what his condition is after the first game, like how he's doing mentally, emotionally, physically.
Tell me
he's
gonna be a little grumpy.
I imagine. Yeah. Yeah, this is obviously several years after the first game because Ellie's grown. She's a young woman at this point. She is not a girl in this game. And so I don't know what else. After that, it goes back to the ending the kiss. Like, this whole thing happened, like her thinking through whatever and this kiss or whatever. And then it comes back to this, like, happy moment, and then it ends right there. which was phenomenal, just captivating for, again, about 10 minutes, however long this gameplay went on. We're just on the edge of our seat the whole time, just totally into it.
And we, I mean, like, not paying attention to anything else other than that, and that has not happened this week.
Yeah.
And then they fire up the next thing, and it's like, okay, here we go.
Right. Well, the next thing was the intermission, which we'll talk through that, because there was a little bit in there that's worth mentioning. So in the little intermission time, they did a recap of the, so Sony announced that they were going to announce a game like every day for 5 days before E3. And so they did a recap of all that. Four of those five games were PlayStation VR titles. And so there was Tetris Effect, which is Tetris by the dudes that did Rez, which, okay, it's like music and Tetris together, whatever, but in VR could be kind of fun. Days Gone, which we already know about and everything. They gave us a release date on that, which is February 22nd, when every other video game apparently is coming out.
Yeah.
But it gave us a new trailer, not a lot of new details about that game. And then there's a game called Twin Mirror that's from Don't Nod. That's a VR game that's like mystery thriller kind of thing. I don't know much about it. There was Beat Saber, which is VR rhythm game where you have like lightsabers that you have to slash in the right direction with the music, whatever. And there was one more. I don't remember what the Ghost Giant, which looks really cool. It looks a lot like Moss, that there's like this little character that you're guiding through this world as kind of a bigger omniscient power, and so you're a big ghost in this one.
Yeah.
And so you're aiding this little guy around. It looks a lot more like humor-based, funny than Moss is. And Moss is kind of this sweet, sentimental-looking game. We don't know, but we will find out because we've got it to play. This one looks a little bit more goofy, a little bit more about the banter back and forth between these characters or whatever. They all look good, but they didn't really dedicate any time to the press conference for those, or for PlayStation VR in general. It had a very, very small part of the press conference, but not something they focus on. Also, I'll mention this really quick. I've got my PlayStation turned on right now, and so I'm about to go do this. Black Ops 3 is also now available on PlayStation Plus. So if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, you can get Black Ops 3 for free right now, which is
PlayStation Plus is ridiculous.
It's pretty great. So, kudos on them for that. So all that happens, the intermission, they talk and like, oh, PlayStation's so cool, and at the desk, and it was weird. And then they go back now again to the nice auditorium with better lighting and all that kind of stuff, and go into Japanese flute performance, which was cool.
Wow.
Whatever. But that obviously leads into the second of the four games that they we knew that they were going to show off, which is Ghosts of Tsushima. This is a game that I hadn't heard about until they said it's going to be one of their big four games. And I was kind of taken aback by the fact that this was one of their big four games and I didn't know anything about it. And so now I feel like I know more about it. It's samurais and whatever.
What is going on? Because I've said three different pieces of production so far. We're seeing games that remind me of Onimusha. And they're everywhere.
Yeah.
It's the year of the samurai again.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's great. I just don't understand it.
There's another in that vein coming up even in the Sony conference. And so, yeah, we've seen lots of that. Ghost of Tsushima seems like it's going to be a standout amongst that crowd, in part because Sony's putting so much behind it and making a big deal. Hopefully it's good. We don't know that it's going to be good. I do know it is beautiful.
Oh, it's fantastic.
The part where in the gameplay, and again, they did the same thing here. It was about 8-10 minutes of gameplay or whatever. There's a part where the character kind of walks over this hill and you see this field, and it's, I don't even know what's in the field, but it's yellow and it's like blowing. There's waves moving through this field and it's just gorgeous. And then he goes and like runs through this field and there's like birds coming up and there's a deer that runs through and everything's so fluid, and like the particle dynamics and the lighting and just everything about it is just fantastic.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this, you gotta go see it.
Yeah.
Because I can guarantee you haven't seen anything like it is spectacular.
Yeah. Fantastic. And then it's swords and samurai combat, and there was a point where he like ripped a dude's throat out. That was pretty brutal. Again, these games are adult games.
Yes.
Sony's not making kid games right now.
the other thing I gotta mention, the choreography in this game for the fights is nutty.
Yeah.
These fights are extremely well put together.
Yeah. And again, super cinematic. Everything about this was cinematic in the same way. It kind of culminates in this fight between two of the characters, the main character and this other character that had been part of this little scene in the trailer. In this kind of field that eventually catches on fire, but it's all about, it looks like the combat's going to be very timing based and kind of parry and attack kind of stuff, which will be cool. I hope the story's there to back it up. That's the one thing I'm not positive about, but it's being done by Sucker Punch, and so I'm hopeful. I think this is going to be a really good game. This is the one I knew nothing about coming in. I was like, they really need to sell me on this one. After the gameplay, I went, oh, yeah, I want to play that. Like, yep. I really dig what they showed us, and so
yep.
I would love to see some more details come out about it, but at this point, I'm pretty pumped.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really do.
After that, we got a new game announcement. So there were, again, some things outside of the Big Four. And so the big new game announcement was a game called Control, which is done by Remedy. It's the same people that did Quantum Break recently. That was a big deal. But also has done tons of stuff before. Alan Wake and whatever. Like, Remedy's been around for a while. And so... It's kind of weird, like slow stop time physics manipulation. It feels like Quantum Break in a lot of ways. I've never played Quantum Break, but the gameplay that I've seen from it, it feels like it has some of the same kind of mechanics to it, but a little bit more psychological thriller-ish, maybe.
Right.
I don't really get it, but it looked really cool.
It's very niche, very much like Quantum Break was, and very much like Quantic Dream games. It's that same type of thing. And I think it's going to be fun to play.
Yeah, I hope so. It looks cool. I don't know if it will be. The next one definitely will be, and this is probably the show stealer, even though they had these big four games. This is the one we didn't know. It was probably the biggest announcement. Been rumors circulating about this for quite a while that this was going to show up at E3, which just didn't know where. Showed up at the Sony press conference, and it was, we didn't know what it was at first. It's this really dark trailer that we eventually find out, apparently from the perspective of like a rat in the room, but you're like small and everything's like super scale.
Yeah, I thought it was Ant-Man. Right? I'm like, what? New Ant-Man game? What is this?
And then a zombie popped in and went, nope, not Ant-Man. Definitely not Ant-Man.
Yeah, and you took the guy's face out.
Yeah, whatever, a zombie rips a face off, you take notice. And so then we're like, oh my goodness, is this what we think it is? And then the camera pans up and guy turns around and it's Leon. And you go, oh my goodness. This is the Resident Evil 2 remake that we've been hearing about for a while, and it looks phenomenal.
Oh, man.
Crazy good.
Like, God, there's not even, like, words.
Yeah.
It's that we've seen a lot of remakes lately, but...
That's a different level.
This one may take the cake. I mean, it's... pretty ridiculous.
Different level. Crazy. Just nuts what that game looks like. It's going to be a big, big deal. It comes out in January, which is not all that far away of these games.
I can't believe I'm going to say it, but that may be a purchase.
Just ridiculous. And so, fantastic looking game and we're understandably pumped about it. We need to see more.
It is the last one. I said this last night for the Patreon content. That's the last Resident Evil game that I played all on my own with my own hands.
Yeah.
Got through it. Really, really enjoyed it. And man, can I get some more of this?
Yes. Yep. 100%. Looks freaking fantastic. So after that, we got another new game announcement. This is the weirdest game part of the Sony press conference for me. This is Trover Saves the Universe, which is apparently done by one of the Rick and Morty creators. Rick and Morty being something I've never gotten
into. Not really, no.
I've heard that I should. I've had many people tell me I would love it, but I have not yet.
Well, you know, dude sitting in a bathtub, how bad can it be?
I don't understand what it is at all. Apparently, it's going to have a PlayStation VR component to it. I missed that in the presentation, but I saw that afterwards. I don't know what that game is or going to be or whatever, but for all the like dark series of The Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, Resident Evil 2, Control, all of these games, super dark and brooding. And then all of a sudden, here's this kind of cartoony, indignant thing that's happening, and you're like, this is a shift, this is weird. And then we pretty promptly shift back into, well, not quite, we kind of transition back into more serious stuff. But that was a strange one, and whatever, okay, cool that it got part of their press conference time. After that, we got what is, I think, objectively the best Kingdom Hearts 3 content of the whole show, better than what was in Microsoft,
yeah,
which is by definition better than what was in Square Enix, because it was the exact same thing that was in Microsoft. Sony, we got both a longer trailer with the announcement of Pirates of the Caribbean World and Jack Sparrow and that kind of stuff, which is super cool. And then the announcement of the total Kingdom Hearts package that has 1.5, 2.5, 2.8. I don't know what these Kingdom Hearts numbers mean even at this point, but all the package together that you can buy all the Kingdom Hearts things as one full
and
package.
And the remaster was just...
Yeah.
Wow.
So you get that on the PlayStation 4. That's not on the Xbox. So that's a good reason if you're looking for the whole Kingdom Hearts thing to play it on the PlayStation 4. Now, if you've got an Xbox One, the fact that it's on the Xbox One at all is still kind of a fairly big deal because it was a PlayStation game back in the day. But whatever. They brought it for Kingdom Hearts, which was cool. I heard a rumor, too, that there's going to be Star Wars content in Kingdom Hearts 3 since Star Wars is part of the Disney universe now. Wow. So they may be holding on to that one for now. It also got a release date on that, which is January 29th. I don't quite know why. Interesting thing just to bring up really quick. It feels like the big releases are happening right after the holidays this year. January and February are really stacked.
I don't get that.
There's a couple things like Super Smash Brothers is coming out in December. There's a few other things that are coming out before the end of the year. But there's big games that are coming out in January and February. And I just don't ever think of January and February as being like the time of year that we get big games.
Gift cards for everybody for Christmas.
That's the way to do it, for sure. So, moving on from there, we get into Death Stranding, which is... before that, let me mention, I don't remember where this was, if it was before or after Death Stranding, but we'll go into the last big two after this announcement, which is Neo 2. A Neo, not a game that either one of us has played, but also has kind of that Onimusha feel to it. And so,
yep,
more of that. And apparently people really like Neo, so it's... Team Ninja, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, that is correct.
So, cool. Awesome, Neo 2. And then we've got the two other big games, which are Death Stranding and Spider-Man. And so we've saw the first two, Last of Us 2, Ghost of Tsushima. Both of those look good. We get Death Stranding next. I don't get this thing still, but I'm more pumped about it and want to play it.
I don't think... I will ever be able to see Norman Reedus in anything and not think Daryl. Even when I see him on, like, I've never seen the show, but I see the ads on AMC for Ride with Norman Reedus, I still think Daryl. He's going to be Daryl from now on, even after Daryl dies. And you said at some point in this gameplay thing, he said something and you're like, yeah, that's a very Daryl thing to say. Because, I mean, you just expect him to whip out a crossbow at any point and off we go, you know?
For sure.
And I think this guy... has made a career out of just being a dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a dude, but he's cool.
Yeah.
So
you did hear about the Walking Dead has announced that the guy who plays Rick is leaving the show.
I had heard that.
After this next season, yes. And Daryl's supposed to take over as the primary character after that. So
yeah, I don't...
From that, Daryl's not going to get killed off anytime soon. The beautiful thing about Daryl in the TV show is he doesn't exist in the comic book.
Right.
So they have a lot of freedom of what they could do with Daryl.
Right, like, and that's... As far as I know, Rick's still alive in the comic. I'm like 60 issues behind.
Yeah, I'm farther behind in the comic than that even.
But as far as I know, Rick is still alive.
Yeah,
so. In the comic. So
all that being said, Daryl is now Sam, which is his name in Death Stranding, and I. So apparently, they deliver stuff. I don't know if they're delivering babies or
mail or
like, pizzas. They're delivering something. He's a delivery man. But they're like use babies for power. Like he's got like this baby strapped to his chest at one point and like inserts a probe into this little chamber that this baby's in to power this little flappy thing over his shoulder. I don't have any clue what any of this crap is, if you can't tell. But it's one. Very pretty. These character models are insane. The capture on them is ridiculous. And then this one, so like we've gotten three big Death Stranding kind of video releases. We got what we saw at E3 last year, which was that kind of initial thing on the beach and naked Daryl and all that. That was weird.
Yeah.
It's constantly weird. It's never not going to be weird. It's going to be a weird game. And then earlier this year, we got the one where they were like in the like the sunken place or the underground world or whatever with the lots of death and destruction. And we saw a little bit more of the combat with the flappy thing on his shoulder and all that. And then we got this big gameplay trailer that actually had gameplay, which is the first time we've seen some walking around and that kind of stuff. But this was very kind of open, desolate world. So it wasn't very inhabited. There were other characters. It makes some hint about some of his like family stuff, like
right.
his wife or something that seeking revenge or just I just don't know enough about this game.
But you know what's crazy? We don't have a clue, but we have to play it.
Yeah,
because we have to find out, and that's what Kojima wants.
Yes, 100%. And I have this feeling that after we play the game, we're going to be having this exact same conversation of, so there were babies and this little flappy thing on his shoulder, and I still don't know what's going on, but it was fun, you know? Like, I don't know that we're ever going to actually understand what in the world is in Kojima's head, but I'm intrigued enough that I need to play it. Like, I'm going to have to play this game and see what's going on with it.
Yeah.
So that was Death Stranding. Go buy again. You guys see the trailer if you haven't seen it yet. It is gorgeous on a whole different level. And then ending with Spider-Man, which looks great. Like, I don't know what to say at this point. They all look so good.
But Spider-Man is another level up because it has a shifty thing going on that I have never seen video games do. I've never seen you got this like really cool cinematic segment going on, and Spidey looks really good. There's stuff going on, and he's jumping around, and it like instantly shifts into the game, and there's literally no, I don't even know what the word is. If it's lag or
transition.
Like it's just you go from one thing to the other instantly. I've never seen that. And it makes for an awesome looking game.
Very, very cinematic. And again, that's all four of these games, very, very cinematic. This one, maybe on a different level. It's hard to say because they're all so much that way. But the gameplay is going to be, it feels like more action-oriented. It feels like, I think you said this during the show, that feels very Arkham-ish. Like, it feels like Spider-Man Arkham game.
And yeah.
So the how he uses the web to like navigate the room, and he's able to pull himself up or to attack enemies from the air. Feels a lot like playing Arkham with the grappling hook and getting around the space like that. And so, which is fun. That's Arkham games are a blast.
Right.
And so that seems like a good mechanic. The trailer was like all these Spider-Man villains chasing him down too, and so like there was Scorpion was in there. What's the dude's name that's actually like the main guy of the game? I forget. Mr. Doctor, Mr. whatever.
I don't know. The Chinese guy. Yep. That's the one villain that I don't know.
Yeah, that was like a deep dive that we didn't recognize straight off last year. He's obviously a part of this, but feels kind of like Arkham in that way too, in that like all these villains are just kind of released into the world, and that like you have to deal with them. And like we were trying to figure out, is this like early in the game or late in the game, because it was this big action sequence. So if it's early in the game, it would make sense that like a lot of the game is going to be like targeting the different villains and having to go
get
and
them
find
all
them
back in there wherever they are. Yeah,
exactly. And so I think that might be a part of it. Whatever it is, I don't really care because it looks like a lot of fun to play.
Well, that's what I was about to say. We talk about story a lot. I don't think the story in this one matters. This one is about gameplay. And if you get some good comic book stuff in there, then that's great. But this one's about, you know, moving around the world as Spider-Man in a way that you've never done that before.
Yes.
The Spider-Man game on the PlayStation was the last one that I played and loved because it felt like Spider-Man. But this is a whole other level, and that's what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's what's going to make this fun. And in much the same way that's what made the Arkham games fun. I keep going back to that, but I think it's such a good comparison that it feels so much like that. Part of the fun of the Arkham games was that you just got to explore, that you got to navigate the world as Batman and use all the Batman things to be in this world. This is going to feel like that, except with Spider-Man. So it feels like it's going to be a little bit brighter and cheerier. Like, not everything's going to be at night, like with Batman. Right. Like, everything's always dark. This is Spider-Man that's, like, bright and cheerful, but yet still, like, combat-oriented. And, like, but one-liners, quippy, kind of funny things in that kind of same cinematic gameplay style.
I have this feeling that I'm going to like this kid that acts as Spider-Man in this game.
Yeah.
More than I like Peter Parker in the new movie.
Yeah. This is a place where we disagree, because I really like that kid. What's his name? Tom Holland?
He's good. I like him.
I think he's my favorite of the...
You think?
Yes, Tom Holland. Of the... since the early 2000s Spider-Man.
I don't actually mind him as Spider-Man. Where they got me in the movie was when they started messing with Mary Jane and Aunt May. Like,
yeah.
Aunt May's young and hot, and I'm like, what are you doing?
That was weird.
That's odd.
Yes, I agree with both of those points, that Aunt May especially. No.
I mean, I saw that and I was like, yeah, I don't. And then the thing at the end with the girl.
Yes.
You know, you
my friends call me MJ.
I didn't. No. No. No.
No, no, no.
No. And I'm watching that with my niece. And she's like, this is so cool. And I just want to take her and lock her into a room with like 30 years of Spider-Man comic books and go, this.
Yes.
I mean, that's what got me. It's not about the kid. I think the kid's fine. I think he's funny. It's the rest of it.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like that this game does really well, because I think we're going to see MJ. I think we're going to see Gwen Stacy. I think we're going to see all of those people.
We know Miles Morales is in it in some level. By the way, there's this new Spider-Man movie, animated movie that's coming out. This
looks really good with Miles.
Yeah, that's focused on Miles. That's called Into the Spider-Verse or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it looks really good. Like, we were like pulling up a live stream on YouTube and they had the ad for it. And it's like, you can skip this ad after 5 seconds. We sat and watched the whole like 2.5 minutes of it. We're like, wow, this is fantastic. So yeah, there's lots to scratch the Spider-Man itch. By the way, of the four games, this is the only one we know a release date for. The only one that's coming out this year. The other three definitely aren't coming out this year. But this one's coming out in September, I think, September 7th, which isn't far away.
Nope.
So that's going to be here soon, and that's really exciting. I think we'll probably see The Last of Us next year. I don't know when we're going to get Ghost of Tsushima or Death Stranding. And to be honest with you, like, we're getting into...
They're not ready.
They're definitely not ready, but we're getting into next-gen kind of title stuff. And there was a story this morning that said that Microsoft is planning to release the next Xbox in 2020. I think next year's E3 is going to be the big hardware E3, and I think we have another console generation coming. Which is a little nuts.
I can't believe it.
I know, I can't either.
I can't believe it.
But I think there's a good chance that next year's E3, we see new PlayStation, new Xbox, and we see some of these games get pushed to PlayStation 5. I think Death Stranding and Ghost of Tsushima. I think The Last of Us 2 may be like the swan song for the PlayStation 4.
Right.
I would expect that game to come out on the PlayStation 4. But honestly, the look of both Ghost of Tsushima and Death Stranding, I just like the PlayStation 4 is immensely powerful, and there's the PlayStation Pro that's out there. I just still can't see how it pulls it off. Those games, like the visuals of those games were
sick.
Yeah, unlike anything. Beyond Good and Evil 2 was kind of on that level too, which I don't anticipate being a current gen title either.
No.
Those games are well off into the future. So two critiques I think I'd give of Sony's press conference in those games, small because I love the games and I thought it was great, and so let me caveat that. But two critiques is one is... At least three of those games, we don't know when they're coming out. Those three games aren't coming out until next year at the earliest. Two of them probably aren't for a couple of years. And so they're well into the future. These aren't games we're playing soon. And those four games, outside of being very different in what the environments and the worlds are, maybe with Death Stranding being the exception of four to a certain extent, but they're all four kind of the same type of game. The cinematic, action combat oriented. Spider-Man's going to be open world. The Last of Us probably not going to be very open world. It looks like Death Stranding's more open world. Ghost of Tsushima probably not very open world. But the gameplay mechanics between these four games all feel like they're going to be pretty similar. And this kind of thing that is what PlayStation does right now, what God of War is and what Uncharted is. And they just, this is the kind, now, don't hear me wrong, because I love every one of those games.
Yes.
And so I'm pumped about it. But if that doesn't scratch your itch, you're probably not super into Sony right now.
Yeah, but what else do you want? I mean, like, this
multiplayer.
Is...
Multiplayer. You know, like...
yeah, okay.
Obviously, that's not our thing. We talk about that all the time. If you're looking for deep multiplayer experiences, Sony wasn't giving you that last night.
Right. I don't feel bad. All of you people that like multiplayer.
There's plenty of it out
there. We've got 8 billion multiplayer games. Yes. I mean, go get that.
Yes.
Not necessary to mess up my PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah. It reinforced for me what we've said this whole generation is the PlayStation 4 is a console for us. For the games that we want to play,
look,
that's where they are.
And I want to go back to what I said at the very beginning of the show, that it gave me that feeling of wonder. This conference gave me that feeling of wonder. We talked about how good Microsoft was yesterday. In the show yesterday, but honestly, what Microsoft did was what they needed to do. They showed off good software. They did the thing. They said, "This is what we got on the Xbox. This is what you can look forward to on your PC." But I didn't get a feeling of wonder from any of that.
Yeah.
It's like, cool, they got great games, great. I'm looking forward to playing Microsoft games. That's awesome. I didn't feel wow. this was like, I'm a kid again watching E3. In 2005 when we started this thing.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like, and that's different from everybody else.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Microsoft had a great show, and I loved it. And they pulled off the press conference better than Sony did.
Yes.
Like, the Microsoft press conference as an event was more fun to watch. It was so fast, rapid fire of these game after game after game. But what I said after the Microsoft conference, that was a big complaint about it, is it didn't show us hardly any gameplay for it. Sony did the opposite. They didn't show us a ton of games. They focused on four games, and they gave us a lot of gameplay. And if they would have not done the stupid first 40 minutes of that show the way they did and just had it in the same theater and just came out on stage and Sean Hayden goes, "Hey guys, we're Sony. We want to show you awesome games. Here's The Last of Us," and then walked off stage and just let it carry itself from there, they would have killed it. Like, they could have had this phenomenal experience. They just got in their own way and trying to make it something different and making it an experience for the people that were there physically as opposed to the people who are watching it, which there are way more people watching it, obviously, than are in the room physically. And I think that was a big mistake they made, was trying to have this kind of atmosphere of this church thing, which in the room may have been pretty cool. I don't know. But the one thing I did notice is when they cut out of The Last of Us 2, people in the room were like talking and walking around, and like it didn't feel like it was a captivated audience watching that. And so I don't know that it was a great experience in the room, because it looked like they weren't real into it. And us sitting on a couch, we were real into it. Yeah. We were captivated. And so,
and I got it. And the thing, so I'm about to go off on a tangent here.
Do it.
Because we are, and I think most of the people who are watching this content, like, the whole thing about loot boxes came up yesterday. And Devolver did their thing. We'll talk about that later.
Yep.
Which was hilarious. And everybody's talking about loot boxes and how we're not doing loot boxes. And I'm looking at all these conferences, looking at the money spent to put, especially that church thing together, like, that wasn't cheap. And I feel like it's sort of a disservice to the people who buy the games. Because, yeah, I know you're trying to put on a show. I get it for those that are there. But we're throwing down hard-earned money to buy your games. Most of us work 40-plus hours a week. Like, I spent money to come down here. And we had a lot of help from the guys at Patreon. And I'm thankful for that. Point I'm trying to make is, with all of this loot box stuff going on, I'm not sure that's a real good look. Because we want them to put on a show for the press conferences, but the whole thing with the church and the extra expense, and they took up two auditoriums, and it just sort of kind of icky.
It's weird, because it felt like they kind of wanted to do like what Nintendo does with the Nintendo Live, so there's no audience or whatever. They spend money on it, obviously, but it's a very different kind of thing. But they still did the whole audience thing. Like, it wasn't that with the intermission at the desk. Like there's not an audience there because they were moving like 1,000 people from one room into another room. Yeah. I don't even care about the money side of it. One thing I'll say I love about E3 this year is like everybody's like, loot boxes were dumb. We're sorry. You know, like, we're getting away from that, and that's great. It's just the thinking about where most of your audience is.
Right.
Most of your audience, 0.1% of the people that are watching that show are in the room physically.
Yeah.
Most of us are sitting on our couches or in front of our computers or whatever. Like, you got to shape the show for those people. And they didn't. And again, the games were fantastic. But Microsoft, I think, did a good job of that.
Yeah.
Ubi, I think, did a good job of that. Nintendo sets itself up for that. They did other stuff we'll talk about in a bit that were whatever. I do want to bring up one other quick thing, though, that we didn't get in the Sony press conference and now officially didn't get in any press conference. No Red Dead 2 anywhere.
No.
It didn't show up, and I anticipated it showing up somewhere. That's a big deal of a game. Now, Rockstar hasn't been big on E3 for a while. Like, they just don't do a bunch of E3 stuff, and so that's not super surprising, I suppose. But I really thought we were going to see Red Dead. I made the prediction that we'd see it in Microsoft. After we didn't see it in Microsoft, I said, surely it's going to show up at Sony. It didn't. We haven't seen anything of it. I don't think we will.
And you just made the point that I think may be the reason why. It may be next gen. It may be like, may be a 2020 thing, and Rockstar just wants people to know they're working on it.
Yeah.
Because you know they're also working on GTA.
Yeah.
You know that's coming.
After Red Dead.
Right.
Red Dead doesn't feel soon, and so.
So I'm kind of wondering if we're going to do a whole new round of hardware, which is nutty. I can't believe that with all the streaming.
I know.
Stuff people were talking about.
But we're not there yet.
No, we're not.
So new hardware, I guess, makes sense.
And I want to make the comment, this show is going way longer than what I anticipated, but we're in your house with the good bandwidth, and a lot of the issues we're having are probably hardware related more than the bandwidth.
I've spent this whole show. We've been talking about how great Sony is. I've spent this whole show trying to get on PlayStation Network and it isn't connecting. Like, the service is down. Why are you undergoing maintenance during E3? Love of all things good and holy, like, this is the time people are trying to log on.
So this is my point. Like, you can talk about all this streaming crap that you want. You can talk about digitizing services and getting rid of discs and all of that. The bandwidth ain't there, and it ain't gonna be there for quite a while.
Yep.
Like, it's just not. I personally think there are hardware limitations that are on the server side that are making this not a thing that really works, because it's obvious that whatever issues are being had this week are not here.
Yeah.
Because we got lots and lots and lots and lots of bandwidth. So when something prints out, it ain't here.
Yeah.
So that brings back the whole idea of the streaming services. I hope they realize that 99.9% of the world ain't there yet.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of limitations to it. I think, obviously, because it hasn't happened yet in the mainstream. Wait, PlayStation Now is a thing. They're doing it. We may even try it out. It might be worth doing the trial of it just to see how well it works on gigabit internet. But it's gigabit internet that I'm fortunate to have because I live in the third biggest metropolitan area in the country. Obviously not everybody does, you know, like I have access to it because I live in a big, big city.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Most people don't. And so, yeah, it's definitely a thing and means we're probably going to get at least one more generation of consoles, and you're going to get Xbox 2 and PlayStation 5 or whatever they call the next Xbox, that are super powerful that I'm sure won't have physical media drives in them. I just can't see any way that there's going to be disk drives in those next hardware.
Yeah, but how do you get, if you don't have it, and we need to do this for the wrap-up show, but this, because this is going to be a big discussion, but I just want to leave you with this and then we can wrap. How do you get a hard drive big enough? If you don't have disk drives, how do you get a hard drive big enough?
I mean,
to load all the, because, like, just as an example, I have remote desktop on my system at the house, so I've been watching my system at the house, and I decided to reload Fallout 4 because I need to play Fallout 4 because Duff bought it. It needs to be done. And I was going through that whole process. Fallout 4 has, with patches and everything, 80 gigs.
Yeah.
80 gigs And that's the base game. That ain't even the texture pack. That's 50 more. I mean, what are we going to put 8 terabyte drives in these new consoles?
It's just going to be data management. I mean, it's what it is on PlayStation 4 right now. It doesn't matter if you get a game on disc. It still installs 50 gigs to your hard drive. You know, right. Like, it doesn't matter. If I go and get a game from Gamefly and put a disc in my PlayStation 4 before I download it, it's basically the same amount of hard drive space it's taken up. We're already there.
Right.
It's just data management. And so I have a 500 gig hard drive in my PlayStation 4. I have to delete crap all the time.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of the thing. I would imagine, my guess is that we'll have 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte solid state drives in these next consoles. I bet they're going to be solid state. It's hard for me to figure there's hybrid drives or something like that. You can't go with a traditional hard drive, but I mean, they're going to be bigger, but data management is just always going to be the name of the game. Again, it is now. That's not a change that's coming. Yeah. That's the current world we live in. My Switch has however much built-in memory. It's not a ton, 32 gigs or whatever they have built into the Switch. Yeah. You know, like, data management is just part of it. It sucks, but it's there. And it's going to be, this generation is the kind of big transition, it feels like, from the physical disc to the direct download. And like God of War, I never dreamt of buying that on a disc. I just went and downloaded it off the PlayStation Store. Like, it never crossed my mind to do it any other way because I didn't want to physically have to go buy a game. And with gigabit internet, I could download it faster and be playing it quicker than if I run down the street to Target.
Just out of curiosity, how long did that take?
I don't remember. An hour. Probably not that long. But it's... PlayStation Network is pretty slow. Like, the bottleneck is from PlayStation Network, not from my end, you know? And so the speeds are always capping at 30 or 40 megs down or something like that because of PlayStation Network or whatever. And so,
yeah.
But it still was quick. I was like, okay, I'm going to buy this game. And then within an hour, I'm playing the game, you know? And a lot of them have where you can start playing it before it gets fully down. I don't know if PlayStation does that or not, but like other systems.
Battle.net does that.
I think EA Access or Origin does. Yeah. So whatever it is, it's a thing, and that's where we're going. But this was a generation from physical media to download. I think the next generation is probably going to be the transition from download to streaming. And by 2022 or whatever, the streaming services are going to start winning out. But there's going to be a transition getting into that. And that's where the tech gets figured out. That's where everything else gets figured out. And ultimately, some people are going to get locked out of that. And so they're going to have to rely on, you know, still being able to download games. Where right now, people still have to rely on physical media if you don't have good download speeds. But that's fewer and fewer people, and thus less and less of these companies' attention is going towards that.
And I can't blame them, because the streaming aspect of it is so cheap.
Yeah.
I mean,
appealing.
Even if you are providing hardware decoding on your server side, it's still cheaper than printing the disc.
Yeah. All that being said, anything else we need to cover with Sony?
That was random. Sorry, went way too long, but that's all right.
Hey, it's good stuff. It's worth talking about. So yeah.
I just want to. Somebody said on the Facebook group, we are paying attention, guys. That Sony won E3, I think Spider said that. And I kind of sort of agree, even with the press conference issue, I kind of think they did.
Yeah, it's all in how you define it. And so it's a tricky thing, and everybody's going to have their own opinion on that, and that's fine.
And we'll waffle 3 or 4 times before we do the wrap.
I agree with that, too. but... For me, at the end of the day, it's who has the games that I want to play, and Sony has the games that I want to play. And the way they presented them, even through the ridiculousness of the conference, just showing me big chunks of gameplay without somebody saying, look at how big the draw distance is. Going back to this Just Cause 4 thing that's come up.
Crazy.
Like, that's great, and I love the techie side of it, and I'm perfectly cool with, like, a stage demo where, like, the lead designer comes out and talks about all that geeky stuff, and I'll geek out about that with you. But in these press conferences, I just want to see the games, and what Sony did was just show us the games without any fluff to it, and I thought it was ultimately compelling.
It was, absolutely.
So kudos, Sony, for that. I hope that part of their press conference formula from this year goes into the future. The rest of what y'all did, like, fix that stuff up, because it was bad. Just not good.
Yep.
But I still loved it, because the games you showed were great.
And because of that, we are really, really happy right now. We're about to do the Nintendo show and not be so happy.
Should last about 15 minutes.
Like, it's probably going to, if it lasts any longer than that, we're going to have to drink. yeah. Like, it was that bad. So we're going to get to that. But before we get out of here, just have to mention, if you want to join us, there's a lot of stuff on Patreon. The guys are on Facebook. They're talking, like, I'm putting up Facebook, and there's, like, lots and lots of posts on Facebook of people talking on Facebook. So that's, you need to go over there and check that out. We got Twitter going on. Tommy's handling the Twitter with the snark provided by the sexy yes. sidekick. I don't know how much of that you're posting. I haven't looked. But she's constantly going at it in the corner over there.
Yes. It's been wonderfully entertaining. Can I mention just self-promotional stuff at this point?
Yes.
Will you, if you are listening to this, please go check out Patreon. Like, we'd love for y'all to contribute on Patreon. Obviously, there's lots of content over there. Doing some fun stuff. We had a video screw up that we had to redo. That's kind of funny. And so we had a good time with that. But we're going to put out a different call right now for something that you can do to help us out. Please feel free to support us on Patreon, all that. On top of that, or in lieu of that, what would be really helpful for the show is if you would go review us on
yes.
iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play. We're working to get on TuneIn Radio. I'm not sure if we're there yet.
We're there because I tested it.
There you go. We're on yes. TuneIn Radio, working to get on Spotify. Wherever you are listening to us right now, whatever pod service you use or whatever, give us a review. Just say, hopefully a good review. If you're still listening at this point in the show, we're banking on that. Yeah. But just go say, hey, we really like listening to these guys. They're stupid, but are entertaining sometimes and make some good points once yeah. in a while or whatever it is. That would help us a ton. And like, share the show on like your social media, Twitter, Facebook, or whatever. We would love to just get some more people involved in the community. And so
absolutely.
Put us out there if you like the show. Help us reach some new people.
We got a good community now. We want to get bigger. We want to do things with this show that we've never done before. Things are going to change pretty majorly here.
Yeah.
Right after
E3. Going to a new format after E3. So.
New format. And
it's a new era of Gaming Uncensored.
It's going to be unbelievable. So, like he said, review us on everything. If you're listening on Spotify, I don't know if we get paid or not.
Right.
But if we do get paid, you need to stream us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. I don't think we're getting paid from that. But it'd be nice.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like 12 cents.
Yeah.
But still.
But, you know, it worked for Ed Sheeran, so right. why not? You know?
Why not? Us, Ed Sheeran, basically the same.
Yeah. You got fur like Ed.
He is a fuzzy dude.
He's a fuzzy dude. That's all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely go do that. I'm excited to be on new services. Google Play, I have not ever really used. Now we're on it, so I gotta go look.
Yep.
And I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. So definitely go do that. We're gonna have to like add more promotional stuff to the website, because you know. We're on all these different places. We got to help you guys get there.
Yep.
Please help us get your friends here.
Yes.
Because we need all the people listening we can get.
Yep.
And with that being said, you can also join us by way of email, gamingunswers@gmail.com, or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Of course, that'll cut you off at 3 minutes, but call us back and keep talking, and we will splice that together.
Absolutely.
And And I guess that's pretty much it for right now. We are done. We're going to do something, going to go do something that's fairly miserable. We will be back with more Patreon content and other content as we go along here. But you are listening to Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2018. It is the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.